The Guardian.
What would an AI make you for dinner? We met a scientist who trained a neural network to study our human recipes and come up with some of its own, and the results are amazing. Salmon beef-style chicken bottom? Cabbage pot cookies? Anyone for some completely meat circle? This is Chips with Everything. I'm Leigh Alexander, and we had to meet the person behind these amazing AI experiments.
Hi, I'm Janelle Shane, and I'm a research scientist. I specialize in optics, but for fun, I've been training neural networks to write all sorts of absurd nonsense.
Now, before we jump in, the phrase neural network basically just means an AI that can learn. Usually it refers to a series of algorithms that can study patterns, learn about them, and then create things it thinks are similar. You give it some data and it just kind of does its best. And often the more it has to work with, the more precise or useful its output eventually becomes. On a basic level, it's not too different from the way the human brain works.
Well, I've been interested in learning algorithms for a long time. I actually, when I first started at university as an undergraduate student, Eric Goodman at Michigan State University gave a very inspiring talk about his work with genetic algorithms. And so that, A, it got me interested in doing undergraduate research, and B, it got me interested in what computers can do when we design them to mimic the sorts of learning and evolution that go on in the natural world. So, you know, from those early years doing work on genetic algorithms, I morphed from that into optics, because that was another interest of mine. But I've always retained a interest in that field.
So when Janelle found some neural network recipes online, she found it so hilarious and surreal that she wanted to delve into the concept herself using a simple neural net on GitHub made by a programmer called Tan Brew. And immediately people were attracted to the AI recipes she posted on her Tumblr, which, by the way, is called Lewis and Quark. It's not hard to see why people love it. You're not only looking at funny lists of ingredients or instructions like preheat the oven to 3,500 degrees, but essentially you're also looking at what a machine thinks about what we do and what we eat.
What was endearing to me really was this simulation of the workings of an alien intelligence. So this is a sort of a mind that think similarly to us, but differently, and doesn't have a lot of these information and assumptions that we do. And so you give it this limited data set, like a list of cookbook recipes, and this algorithm has to figure out what's going on, like what is a teaspoon, why are there these numbers before the number of teaspoons, and what is this word after the teaspoon, what does it mean? And it's fascinating to watch the process of this algorithm figuring all this stuff out and to see the mistakes it makes. And it kind of highlights these are the assumptions that we are making constantly about the world. And what if it wasn't like this? And what if you really could have a teaspoon of peeled baking lemon turn beans?
How exactly does this all come together?
For a learning algorithm like this neural network, there's no training involved other than giving it a data set and some basic parameters. And the neural network itself chews over this data set and figures out things like, are there words, are there line breaks, are there numbers, and starts to generate things that look more like a recipe or more like code or more like paragraphs of text. So for what I am doing when I'm sitting on at my computer, I'm using this open source neural network framework that someone else has generally made available to the public. I'm giving it this text file, and it's a plain text file with, you know, just a bunch of words and spaces and numbers or whatever in there. And I'm feeding it to the neural network, and the neural network is training itself, trying to figure out what's going on. Later, when I want to see what the neural network came up with, there is we call it a sampling step. So you tell it, all right, here's some seed text, or make up your own seed text, and here's how creative I want you to be. You know, here's a letter to start with or a word to start with. Why don't you tell me what comes next? And then what comes after that? And comes after that. And pretty soon it's generated an entire recipe, for example. And the parameters are just really simple things about the setup of the network, like how many, you know, so-called cells or so-called neurons are in the network. But it's really basic sort of information I'm giving the network, and I'm not really telling it anything about the data set itself. The neural network has to figure all that out.
When we come back, Janelle Shane tells us more endearing stories from the world of AI training, including the time she tried to teach a neural net to write Doctor Who episode titles. Check out a new Guardian film called Erica Man-Made. It's about a semi-autonomous android created by the bad boy of Japanese robotics, Hiroshi Ishiguro. Erica is the product of the most funded scientific project in Japan, but the project is philosophical as much as it is technological. It questions what it means to be human and reveals that the future is closer than we might think. That's the Guardian film Erica Man-Made at theguardian.com/documentaries. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm your host, Lee Alexander, and we have research scientist Janelle Shane on the show this week, who has trained a neural network to produce some unusual AI recipes that you probably shouldn't try in the kitchen. One of the reasons I love this project so much is because the recipes seem just close enough to achievable until you look closely at the absurd elements, like the AI was just kind of muddling toward sense and ended up at these abstractions of humanity.
Well, there's definitely a kind of absurdity in picturing somebody trying to perform these instructions or trying to find the ingredients that this neural network is asking for. The neural networks that I train usually don't have very long memory because I'm limited by what my computer can handle. So it's only remembering about 65 characters at a time, or looking at 65 characters at a time when it tries to guess, for example, what the next ingredient may be. So it will only remember back about two or three ingredients, something like that. It eventually gets smart enough to figure out, okay, I'm making some kind of sweet dessert thing, let's stay with that theme, let's add flour and vanilla and so forth. Sometimes it'll add eggs twice, or it'll add the vanilla maybe six times to be safe. I mean, that's still performable. But then you get to the directions, and by the time it does the directions, it's forgotten whether it's making cake or cookies. And sometimes it loses the plot entirely and thinks it's now making a fish recipe. And so you get all sorts of references to ingredients that didn't even exist in the ingredients list. I think there was one recipe I liked where it gave a long and somewhat formidable ingredients list that was a mix between sweet and savory, and then the first line of the directions was to take a different casserole out of the oven and serve it.
Janelle has done a lot of other fun and thought-provoking things with neural nets, for example, trying to teach it how to tell jokes, which, like recipes, tend to combine the use of a formula with a certain magical intuition. I personally think that's the best part, when you see the AI struggle to intuit things that we take for granted as innate to us.
For example, I had a reader give me a list of about 200 knock-knock jokes, which is a pretty basic, small data set. And so I wasn't even sure what this neural network was going to learn to do. Could it learn to write puns? Could it learn to write jokes based on this small set of jokes? I didn't think so. My predictions turned out to be more or less correct. It managed to figure out the general structure of knock-knock jokes more or less, but you know, there's not enough data for it to figure out all the puns and all the cultural references. All this extra knowledge about doors or, you know, inside the house being different from outside the house, that makes a lot of these knock-knock jokes work. And the neural network has no idea about those. Wouldn't have an idea of how to construct a joke like that until it gets a whole lot more jokes and it can see lots of references to the inside versus the outside of a house and start to mimic those. So what you get instead are these really surreal sort of jokes that it comes up with that, you know, are funny for completely different reasons than normal knock-knock jokes are.
It's kind of like those jokes written by children that you may have seen on social media. It's so charming to see a child entirely entertained by their own logic, even when it doesn't match that of adults.
It does remind me of jokes told by children. And it maybe is not that the child doesn't understand jokes, but more that the child doesn't yet understand how to make jokes funny to somebody else. So the child who's telling these jokes, I'm picturing them giggling uproariously at the joke they have made, which is right now the funniest thing in the world to them. They haven't yet learned how to maybe, you know, temper their humor to make it funny to someone else.
Yeah, when you think about it this way, these neural nets become really endearing. There's something earnest and naive about them at some times, insightful and touching at others.
And it is fun to anthropomorphize these neural networks a little bit and to imagine, you know, it's getting frustrated, it doesn't know what to do, so it's sticking in 4 or 5 the's just to be safe, or it's adding the vanilla 6 times just to be safe. That is part of the fun in reading these neural network outputs, too, is trying to project some kind of humor, some kind of intelligence that's thinking about what it's generating, thinking about what it's trying to do. You get a neural network that does seem to do the same sorts of things over and over again. So you start to recognize, oh yeah, looks like the neural network has learned its first favorite word. We've gotten to that stage. So for example, I've been recently training the neural network to try and generate new episodes of Doctor Who, just the titles of the episodes. So as I'm watching it go through this process of trying to learn how to make a plausible Doctor Who episode, sure enough, the first thing it comes out is trying to D-A-D-O. It tries a whole bunch of short 4 or 5 letter words that all start with D-A and D-O because it knows it has seen the word Dalek and the word doctor enough to know that these are very important words. And when it first learns to spell Dalek for the first time, and it learned Dalek before it learned doctor, then all of a sudden, every single episode title is the something Daleks, the string of the Daleks, the wire of the Daleks, the Argos of the Daleks, the Daleks of the Daleks. Every single episode that it comes up with for a while is the Daleks, because this is the safest answer that it has figured out so far.
Now, could you really prepare any of the recipes that the neural net came up with? Does that even matter alongside all this delight? We asked Janelle for some of her favorites.
There was one recipe recently I liked where this was a fairly well-trained neural network by now that had learned to separate sweet recipes from savory recipes and seemed to have some sense that it was making a cookie recipe. There is a certain amount of chaos that I inject into these neural networks on purpose to get interesting results. So we had a recipe that did butter, sugar, vanilla, eggs, cocoa, milk, and then the very last ingredient was a cup of horseradish. From there, the neural network got even more erratic and started adding things like pastry tuna and shrimp and liver and squid. There was a definite turning point at which some data had injected some data into its output that completely confused it. You could kind of see this careful, orderly recipe turn to complete chaos. And I do like some of the more disconcerting recipe names and things that it'll come up with. Like it came up with an ingredient that was 1 round meat in bowl. It came out with another ingredient that was 1 bowl with no noodles. My very favorite recipe title that the neural network came up with is the crockpot cold water. I think that might be the only recipe it's come up with that you could actually make from start to finish.
That was Janelle Shane, a research scientist whose day job is steering holographic laser beams. I highly recommend you follow her Tumblr, lewisandcork.tumblr.com, for more of her experiments with neural nets and other playful science. She does very interesting work, and we were so glad to have her on the show. This has been Chips with Everything, the digital culture show from The Guardian. I'm your host, Lee Alexander, and my ace producer is Ian Chambers. If you like our show, please do us a favor and give us a rating on iTunes. It helps grow our audience so we can reach more people with stories of tech culture pioneers and current events. If you have a story for us, please reach out to guardianships@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this and other wonderful Guardian podcasts on iTunes or whatever podcasting app you like. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.